Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 15. The king of the atheists, Kamsa, is always sending the demon Vatsasura to corrupt and destroy the boys. The teacher of the young, employed by the atheistic society, is verily the agent of Kamsa. The atheist is afraid lest the boys are employed in the service of Kamsa. He is naturally anxious to prevent any acquaintance of the boys with Krishna. But if a boy has really found Krishna, the nefarious activities of the empiric teacher are powerless to destroy his innocence. If such a teacher perseveres in the fruitless attempt, he will thereby quickly bring about his own utter moral degradation, and his sorry trick will also be fully exposed. Because in this case, it is Krishna himself who opposes the wicked activities on behalf of his protege. So, the idea being is that the materialists, they always are interested in simply that someone is trained in sense gratification, right? Because that's the whole purpose of society in their mind. Therefore, then, the children have to be trained in this, right? You know, of course, according to their position. You know, they shouldn't start smoking and drinking too early, right? And, you know, no girl should be becoming pregnant. You know, a few major rules are in place, but otherwise, then, you know, that whole mood of that, and they should respect their their seniors because they're so much better at sense gratification. So like that. But so this mentality will be there amongst the materialists. But if someone is Krishna conscious, then being Krishna conscious, then they won't have any difficulty from these people. So if somebody's nicely situated in Krishna consciousness, even if he has to deal in these environments, because they're younger and that, people will try to corrupt, leaders will try to corrupt, it won't work. And if they continue at that, then it'll destroy their own position, and it'll also be revealed, so this is what's going on. Make sense? Because Krishna is opposing. That's the point. Krishna gets rid of Vatsasura. We simply have to surrender to him. We surrender to him, and Vatsasura goes away. Right? So, both in this position and also, as we mentioned before, just in the neophyte position, that one takes up too easily the association of the non-devotees, considers them very, you know, good, special qualities, something to look up to. Then the problem is one takes on those bad qualities of those people. And then one becomes corrupted. But if one is fixed in Krishna's service, then even one has to move in the world with materialists, one will be unaffected. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Sure. Sukadeva Goswami continued, upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the cowherd boys exclaimed, "Well done, Krishna. Very good, very good. Thank you." In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Footnote 5. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 44 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Huh. Now the north wind. Okay. Because about 2 weeks ago, the east wind started, which is just about to shift, and now that's why it's cooler, because the north wind. Okay. Yes, so then Krishna performing these pastimes for his pleasure, to please himself, to please the devotees, the devotees being pleased, everybody, then this is the whole aspect. That's the whole purpose of the rasa, is that everybody's going to, is that Krishna and his devotees are happy. Right? So for amongst the friends, it's not a problem if Krishna's great. Because being friends with someone who's great, that's a taste. They're a great personality, but you're just friends. Right? So it doesn't get in the way of the rasa there. So he can kill the demons, this, that, they have no problem. Right? But the parents, now that's a problem, because what it is, because the child is there, you're protecting him, you're taking care. If you don't feed him, if you don't do all these things, then it won't work out very nicely for him. Right? So if he can kill these demons that you can't, right, then what are you doing? What's your position? Right? So that's why then with the parental rasa, it just doesn't work. So that's what was seen, is that these different aspects, they fit or don't fit. And it's just the nature of how that will manifest. Just like the cowherd boys and the parental rasa, that they're friendly. Because parents, they have children, and so then Krishna's friends are just like more children. Mm-hmm. So it works nicely. But you can't, the mischievous side or the overly playful side, that you can't manifest with the parental rasa. But the two rasas get along. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, therefore, in Mother Jashoda's house, they do fine together. Right? They can be there, they can interact, they can maintain their relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? They just have to behave themselves, because now they're in Mother Jashoda's house. Right? But yes, but to, you know, be a little more rambunctious, and they go out into the fields and everything like that, then they can run around and be a little bit more, you know, playful. But then you see is that the gopis, then that rasa doesn't match with parental rasa. Again, it's just something, because conjugal rasa means your child is grown up. Right? So since your child's small, so therefore killing of the demons, you know, his having relationships with the gopis, these kind of things don't match there. So the gopis can go to Mother Jashoda's house, but that's because she's invited them to cook for Krishna. Right? And so then they help as assistants to her. So in Mother Jashoda's mind, they're only assisting in the parental rasa. Right? Because they're all married themselves, and so Krishna being a small boy, you know, no matter how big he is, then you know, they're just assisting him as other, you know, how you say, other established members of the Grihastha community. Right? And so then they are assisting like that. So they'll cook, they may serve, they may do these different things. So, yes. But much of the time, because they're younger, they're not as experienced. So then you'll see that Rohini will serve, Mother Jashoda might serve, or this, like this. So it's they'll help. So whatever's going to happen, right? Or they'll help in the evening, Mother Jashoda, because she's doing many things. And so then the maid servants of Radharani, they bathe Krishna in the evening, right? In the morning, Mother Jashoda bathes and dresses him, but in the evening, then the Radharani's maidservants, they bathe and dress them. Right? Because they're, you know, Grihastha women, they're this and like this. Does this make sense? Like that. But the parental rasa will never think that something's going on. Even though others may say, it's just not something that is accepted. Right? Does that make sense? So in this way, then the conjugal rasa and the parental rasa are actually enemies. Does that make sense? Right? And then the gopis and the cowherd boys, because they all have close relationships, like that, they're neutral. Right? It's not that the friendship rasa supports the gopis, but it's also not inimical towards. Most of the times, because they're just friends of Krishna, they won't understand anyway, so then so much can happen. And then those who are supportive, then they take that neutral state where they help out where they can. Right? And then servitorship then is supportive of the parental ras. It's neutral with the conjugal ras, neutral with the The servant. It may be friendly with this, with the friends, because they're also like parents, like that. So Rupa Goswami explains all these. Yes. That's there, but we have to understand as we're dealing with sweetness. It's that, because now just take it, let's analyze it. If we're taking that the parent or the child is becoming greater than them and they're not minding that, right? But what's the flavor that's being perceived here? The greatness of the child, right? So therefore it has that aspect of majesty. Does that make sense? Like that. So it doesn't have bad qualities of envy and those kind of things. But it has the aspect of the greatness of the child. Well, in Braj, it's not about the greatness of Krishna. So for the cowherd boys, it can be, because it's all chivalry is a major part of their relationship. Right? Mm-hmm. And that, so if he's greater than one as all those who are junior, then it's someone nice to follow. Right? Makes that relationship stronger. And if they're equals, that if you're an equal and he's great, you're great. You know, just like when they were lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna also, the cowherd boys are putting their sticks, thinking that they're holding. And the elder the elder gopas, they were putting their sticks. And so, you know, like this. Does that make sense? So it's a slightly different aspect of the flavor. Does that make sense? Yes.
We chant Damodarasaka every day.
Right.
Vatsalya rasa, it's all about Vatsalya. However, you know, Satyavrata Muni, right at the end, he says that Namo Radhikaya Vadiya Priyaya. So why would he do that?
Why wouldn't he?
Because it's kind of, you know, the whole thing is going, and then out of nowhere the Radhika is coming in, and that's the end. And
but that's the point. Yeah, okay. It's like if we want to explain the fullness of the affection, right? Then those in Shantaras, those in Dasya, those in the friendship, then there's going to be there, like Uddhava, you know, how intimate, how close he is, what's the closeness of him. How, you know, Krishna takes his advice on everything and they share everything. They even look the same. Because when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, the gopis at first thought it was Krishna. But then when he starts, you know, how he speaks and his mannerism, they can understand he's not Krishna. So, you know, so close like that. But you don't think of that as the major expression of love. Right?
Yeah.
So Mother Jashoda, then that is a universal aspect that everybody can relate to. Because the parental rasa, the nature of it, and then especially of the parents, the mother. So somebody, everybody can appreciate. So you can describe its full details, all aspects of it, all the various emotions, the various considerations, all that you can discuss very openly. And it doesn't disturb anybody else. It means anyone in the five rasas will not be disturbed by hearing about that. Right? But hearing about it from the perspective of the conjugal rasa, then the other rasas may or may not appreciate. Right? The parents don't want to hear about it. The boys, it's all, oh, yuck, you know, that kind of thing. The servants, it's a bit over their head because it's too, you know, they're formal and then this is informal. Shantaras might appreciate. You know, but they're kind of not your major players in Braj. You know what I'm saying? They're there, but they're not the leading personalities that are showing that affection. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea, is that it's something that you can explain fully and it be appreciated fully. You know, and then you make a mention. You know, so you know it goes on to that, but for those who appreciate that, they'll get everything from that, because it's not about volume. Right? The volume can be done with Mother Jashoda, but the other, it's you know or you don't know. If that's important to you, then you catch that whole thing. And if not, then, you know, everybody is Radha and Krishna. No one minds that. So it just goes by as, you know, Radharani is being mentioned. Does that make sense? Because the whole point is the conjugal rasa means if you're dealing in Dwarka, then who's prominent? Right? Rukmini or, you know, how you say, Devaki? Rukmini. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that she's prominent because, you know, the wife's always going to be more prominent than the mother. Mm-hmm. Right? Mother's there, but it's still, you know. But then at the same time, as being that it's they're married, therefore it can be prominent like that, like in Vaikuntha. Lakshmiji can be prominent. But the in Braj, being Parakia, then you can't have that prominence. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. Is that you're trying to avoid that aspect, because it can't be prominent. You know, as Krishna said, I mean, it's known, it's the biggest open secret. But the point is those who know, those who don't. Does that make sense? So that's just the nature that when you're dealing with the rasa. That's why the Rupa Goswami mentions, he gives that example, that those in Raghunuga Bhakti, it's like the wife with the paramour. Is that you don't see it, you don't hear about it, it's not talked about, there's no nuances, there's no nothing. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that aspect of it. That's why the thing where they try to make it prominent, try to make it into a sadhana, try to make it, you know, known, these are all, they don't match the rasa. They just don't. Because when you think of mothers, you know, as your standard, typical mother, is she contrary to the child? No. Huh? Yeah? Okay, we'll have to look at, take into communal considerations. But, let's say it is in speech, but not in the mood.
Yeah, mood is burning.
Yeah, but the speech is as if. That's just to make you more aware of the... But in the conjugal, the contrary is in the speech and the mood. Right. So the support is actually very hidden, because it's not supposed to be known, right? Moms aren't really elusive, right? Not directly, right? And moms are generally not shy. That one, 100%, you're going to have to go with that one, right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. But within the conjugal rasa, these three, that is the mood. One of those three is going on. You know, if you ever have where it's straightforward without any of those, that's a rare moment. Though the men may take it, okay, this is the way it should be. No, that's just a rare moment to give you a glimpse of how things should go on in reality. And then as soon as that's been stated, then it goes back into its standard position. Does that make sense? You know, because the feminine nature can take up the masculine, you know, mood or activities for a temporary time, but it can't be maintained. Not that it's wanted to be maintained, what's the point? But I'm just saying, for a short time it may, and then it goes out. Does that make sense? So we're dealing here in that... You won't see that because it's not supposed to be the prominent thing. You know? Yeah.
So the difficulty might be is that devotees who develop in Krishna consciousness and then being followers of Rupa Raghunath, then they see all the sahajiyas, all the external thing, as you mentioned, and they are not attracted. But on the other side, as you mentioned, it's not presented straightly. So they have to guess, or they have to...
No, but the point is it's one of those things. It's like, how much actual time, physical time, is necessary in the way of, let's say, a attractive boy and attractive girl having to be, let's say, in a similar context where they can just see each other. One moment's enough. One look, one smile, one like that. That's it. And then how long can one contemplate that and nourish? Yeah, okay. That's the whole point. And when does that happen? Because that girl is going along, and that boy's going along, and they're just being who they are all the time. And then one day, that moment happens. That's how it works. So in other words, if it's not seen, it's that one's aware. So one's aware of it, but that's the gyan. So one knows. But acting in that position, that's vigyan. That'll just happen. Right? And then one can see more. Just like do the Mother Jashoda's there, all the gopis are there, Krishna's there, right? And there's all the different groups of gopis there. Does Mother Jashoda notice anything on the conjugal level? No. She just sees the girls there and nice. But is it not going on? Right? Is there, signs are not being given, things, there's not a whole, war going on there? The whole rivalry? Yes, so it's all happening. So just, that's the point, is that it comes up. It's not something one has to worry about. It's like the younger children don't have to worry, will they hit puberty? It's not by being an anxiety that it'll make it happen better or something. Does that make sense? One just knows that it's there, but the point is as it is said, one has to be understand the position to keep oneself in a pure state so one doesn't get distracted by those who are improper, like you mentioned, the sahajiyas. One doesn't get distracted by that. Because there's so many things. The sadhus, the smartas, the kirtaniers, Bhagavat Saptawalas, all these speakers like that, your different sannyasis and yogis and gurus, and it's like it's smart as you got them coming out your ears what you can get distracted by. Right? But one keeps oneself very fit and very, situated at the lotus feet of guru and Gauranga, and then one doesn't get affected by that. And then by keeping that purity at some point, then greater and greater maturity come. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The worry mostly is not about it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. But at that moment, because it's a very crucial moment, so then devotees need guidance. This is the worry mainly.
Yes.
Because then if the proper guidance isn't there, then as you mentioned, there's so many varieties of deviation and only one way to go the right path. So then...
Yes. So, it's there in the books, it's being discussed. It's just that whether it's noticed or not. Because when Prabhupada gives the instructions, the acharyas give, they give for all levels. So everybody can get the same point. Because, as we said, is that, let's say, like, chanting Krishna's glories is the process to come to the platform of prema. But having come to the platform of prema, then it's that discussing, that's the goal. So that's the whole thing. Is for us, we just get to know that, okay, we should be chanting Krishna's glories rather than, singing some pop song or something like that. And so... then for us, there's that sambandha jnana about it. Then there'll be the application of the applying that nicely, and then they'll be coming to that position of prayojana. So the same knowledge is there all the way through. The same practice is there. It's just a matter of the appreciation of the realization of it. That's what changes. Is that? That's good. You don't have to worry about the fans. Okay. After the killing of the demon, Krishna and Balaram finished their breakfast in the morning. And while continuing to take care of the calves, they wandered here and there. Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintained the entire creation, now took charge of the calves as if cowherd boys. Okay, so they're out with the calves and all that. So it's, you know, really young, and so they'll be playing a lot. Right? So because it starts from the sixth, right? Because the Kumara will be up to the end of the fifth year and beginning of the sixth through the end of the tenth. That will be Pauganta, right? So they're still before in the, they'll still be in the Kumara because they're taking care of the calves. Right? So when they start the cows, I think that's when they come into the Pauganta. Mm-hmm. No, it's enough. Just. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna's daily business here in this material world was to kill the Duskritis. This did not hamper his daily affairs, for it was routine work. While he tended the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, two or three incidents took place every day. Right, so we just hear about the major ones, like that. And then why these major ones? Because these bring out the main anartas and all that to be removed. And other ones will be finer points. So these like this. So it's just, this is the demon that was killed before breakfast. then they'll have the one, around lunch, and then the one in the evening. So it's just part of the things. Or, we have Dhanakasura, then you have a whole, group. So it's I say. Yeah, what is it? Group package or where you have the it's like when you're traveling you get
a combo
thing. Yeah, like that. So you get all of them together. Killing the demons one after another appeared to be his daily routine work. So, verses 46 to 53. So he doesn't have any work, but he just does it out of his affection for the devotees. He does this, to remove the burden of the earth, because the demons just get too demoniac. They'll just make trouble for everyone. That's the point of the demon. Is the pious person, he'll do the best he can within his limits. And that way then he gets benefit, he doesn't disturb others. And then if he performs his duties and charity, his relationships, friendships, then it's his goodwill, his good fortune is spread amongst others. But demons, they, wherever they can take it, they'll take it. If someone has, they'll just take that. They won't share, they just make trouble. So when they become too big, then they have to be removed, right? Then getting purified, then they may, when Krishna kills them, then they could go back to Godhead. But if not, then the material energy, the big demons that just get killed, then they'll just take up, they'll get purified, and then they'll just kind of start all over again. It's kind of like hard reset. Yes.
So when the devotees in Raj, they sing the glories of Krishna killing the demons. Mm. So everybody perceive it differently according to their rasa, because
that's there, but it's one of those things you don't have to worry about it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Just sort of like, let's say, one devotee has done something nice, let's say some nice book distribution and all that, and so then are different people seeing it different ways, right? Let's say that devotees, that Sankirtan devotees' parents are there. How are they going to see it, right? He has his close friends. They'll see it another way. The junior Sankirtan devotees will see it in another way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea, is that that's going to happen anyway. Does that make sense? But we don't have to worry, am I supposed to see it this way or that way? No, we don't. We just stick to what we're supposed to do. We're hearing about these things so we know what we're trying to get to. Right? But it's not that we have to worry about it. Right? You know, it's just like, you know, the child is there, you know, they're in grade school, they get some homework. They don't want to do the homework, they'd rather play, so the parents are telling them about the importance of homework and the grades, and then you can go through and you'll get in college, you can get your, you know, specialization, like this, that. So now does that grade school kid have to worry about his specialization? No, he has to worry about getting good grades in the fundamentals. Right? So that's the process. Right? In other words, if we're worried about it, you don't have to worry about it. Because if it's something that applies, you're not worrying about it. Is that something? Yeah. Is that something? Verses 46-53, Sri Krishna bifurcates Bakasura's beak. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. One day, all the boys, including Krishna and Balaram, each boy taking his own group of calves, brought the calves to a reservoir of water, desiring to allow them to drink. After the animals drank water, the boys drank water there also. Right by the reservoir, the boys saw a gigantic body resembling a mountain peak, broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. Right, because you have the mountain peak, and the thunderbolt hits it and breaks off the top. So that means it's big. And so then this is just sitting there, right? They were afraid even to see such a huge living being, right? So there's this living being. It looks like a mountain peak. It's so big. That great body demon was named Bakasura. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. Footnote 6. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 47-48 to Bhagavad Arkamritrimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. So that Krishna then allowed himself to be swallowed by the duck, you know, it's just some fun. That the cowherd boys in there, you know, they're afraid like this, and you know, all these things that will unfold. Then all that's just, these are the tastes that are going on. When Balaram and the other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without light. Srila Prabhupada comments, although Balaram can do everything, because of intense affection for his brother, he was momentarily bewildered. Right? So that's the point. The rasa is the more important aspect. Right? A similar thing is stated to have happened in connection with Rukmini Harana, the kidnapping of Rukmini, when Krishna, after kidnapping Rukmini, was attacked by all the kings. Rukmini was momentarily bewildered until the Lord took the proper steps. Right? Because she was thinking, okay, she wanted Krishna. She knows he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they're Dwarkavasis, right? But she wants him as her husband, and all this. So then the arrangements are made, and all this, so then he comes and kidnaps her. But then when so she's very happy, but then when the kings start coming to attack, then she gets that momentarily bewildered, because she's worried that, you know, after so much difficulty, then now she's finally gotten Krishna as her husband, and now these kings are coming along and going to make trouble. Right? But then at the next moment, then she'll be okay, because then Krishna will fight with them. So naturally then, you know, since you're driving a chariot, then she'll have to drive, and, you know, and then he'll do the fighting. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Krishna, who is the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a cowherd man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Right, it's one thing if he became hot like anything and he spits him out and, you know, he's not in good shape, then okay, job well done, you know. But he's in perfectly good shape, as, you know, as he was before he swallowed it. Srila Prabhupada comments, although Krishna is always as soft as a lotus, within the throat of Bakasura, he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatam mam prapadyante tams tadaiva bhajamyaham. When Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee. Right, because an enemy means you can't tolerate. So he becomes the most intolerable to the enemy. Right? So it also increases the rasa there. Okay. He becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here, this is shown by the example of Bakasura. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Krishna, the leader of the Vaishnavas, saw that the demon Bakasura, the friend of Kamsa, was endeavoring to attack him, with his arms he captured the demon by the two halves of the beak. And in the presence of all the cowherd boys, Krishna very easily bifurcated him as a child splits a blade of virana grass. By thus killing the demon, Krishna very much pleased the denizens of heaven. At that time, the celestial denizens of the higher planetary system showered malika, pushpa, flowers down in Nandanakana. Oh, flowers grown in Nandanakana upon Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. Right, because in the heavenly regions, then Nandanakana is their best garden. So then the flowers there must be the best that the demigods have. Mm-hmm. So for them to then shower these flowers, that would mean, you know, that's special. And Malika is very, very sweet, very strong smell. They also congratulated him by sounding celestial kettle drums and conch shells and by offering prayers. Seeing this, the cowherd boys were struck with wonder. Mm-hmm. Footnote 7.
The demigods, we know they usually... quite materialistic devotees, and they still get the darshan of Krishna, and it still doesn't change their mind.
Well, it means they're doing service, they're getting purified. You can't say they don't, because when we keep hearing about the demigods at different times, remember there's 14 completely different groups of them in one day of Brahma. Mm-hmm. You know? So this group here, we say they become devotees, but it doesn't mean that the next group is. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 51 to 52 to Bhagavad Akramukshimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So again, just that their love for Krishna and all these things, so they're struck with wonder and this and that, so... Just as the sense and Krishna doing all these things for his own, you know, that's just some fun, the demigods, you know, everybody's interacting. So it's just about Krishna's pleasure. Okay? Just as the senses are pacified when consciousness and life return, so when Krishna is freed from this danger, all the boys, including Balaram, thought their life had been restored. They embraced Krishna in good consciousness. And then they collected their own calves and returned to Brajabhumi, where they declared the incident loudly. Srila Prabhupada comments, it was the practice of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi to compose poetry about the incidents that occurred in the forest when Krishna performed his different activities of killing the asuras. They would compose all the stories in poetry or have this done by professional poets. And then they would sing about these incidents. Thus it is written here that the boy sang very loudly. In Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Bakasura represents cunning duplicity, deceptive behavior, and hypocrisy, the outward manifestation of a false lifestyle of cheating activities. Yeah, so then it must be the aspect of like the crane. Yeah, as it says, Manu mentions that one should be very careful of associating those who have a cat-like mentality of those with a, you know, this, the heron or the duck-like mentality. Because then they, you know, because like the heron, it stands there, you know, very peacefully, not moving like a sage, like a sadhu, you know. You know, just the eyes focused in one point, but at the same time they're watching the fish, and as soon as the fish is close enough, then they grab the fish. Right? So they present one's lifestyle, but actually their consciousness, what their actually purpose is, a completely different lifestyle. That's hypocrisy. Right? That one is trying to live a lifestyle, and one's not necessarily very good at it because of anarthas, but one is still trying and has that commitment. That's not what this is talking about. Like that.
Maharaj, you said that can you guide the edge of Swaral and Ekotism?
Yes, so then lots of ducks. According to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, in his last life, he was Suhotra, a Gandharva disciple of Durvasa Muni, along with his three brothers, who became Pralamba and Keshi. He performed austerities as Pushkara Tirtha. Once the three of them were picking lotuses at the celestial lake Chitra Sarova for offering to Lord Krishna, when they were arrested by servants of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva received them very nicely, but told them that he had promised Parvati that he would curse anyone who took lotuses from that lake, as she had vowed to offer 1,000 lotuses a day to Lord Krishna for 100 days. And there were exactly 100,000 lotuses there, some of which they had now picked. So they had to appear as these demons, but they were then killed by Krishna, liberated. So they were going to worship, but then by the arrangement here, then it worked out. So even though he's having to take care, it's still they get that full benefit. So the benefit of that, what little worship, what particular worship they were going to do, then they got that full benefit of getting Krishna's darshan and then being killed by Krishna. So then they would attain to the transcendental realm. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, Palamba and Keshi. Okay.
Their offenses are very different in mentality, and still they all get the same result. I'm not talking about Krishna killing them, but what happened to them next? Because now at Kuvarana and Griva, they became reinstated. What was next? He was killed.
Yeah, because they're demigods, so there's no need. But it seems here is that these ones, I think they're saints and all that, so no need to go back to that. Okay? So it generally appears if they're demigods, they go back to that position. But in this case, then they get to go back to Godhead. Better. Verses 54 to 59. The young gopas recount Krishna's pastimes to the Brajavasis. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the cowherd women, men and women heard about the killing of Bakasura in the forest, they were very much astonished. Upon seeing Krishna and hearing the story, they received Krishna very eagerly, thinking that Krishna and the other boys had returned from the mouth of death. Right, so that's just the part of the story they remember. Right? You know, sometimes then, you know, there's that cliche that someone's telling someone his whole story. Mm-hmm. You know, some very important points and there's some side point, mm-hmm. you know, like that. And then the person asks a question on that side point. Really? You guys came in an ambassador? You know? They still have ambassadors, you know. But the point was, is, you know, we came, it's Kartik, we wanted to come like that, and it was, you know, this and that difficulty, you know, to arrange all the different things. you know, and they either get to leave to get this and all these different exams. So finally we were able to do it and get here for, you know, Kadasi, and then we came and, you know, all these difficulties, and then, you know, the only car left that we could get a ride in was an Ambassador, but, you know, we made it out here and we're here, and so we're so happy to be here. Really, you guys are an Ambassador, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of a thing. So they just the part that they that's important to them, that Krishna and Balaram are alive, the cowherd boys are alive, so that's what they catch. Thus they looked upon Krishna and the boys with silent eyes, not wanting to turn their eyes aside now that the boys were safe. Right? Because, you know, you're going to deal normally how you do, but then if there's a concept of loss, then you're going to be put in that extra care, right? The cowherd men, headed by Nandamars, began to contemplate. It is very astonishing that although this boy Krishna has many times faced many varied causes of death, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was these causes of fear that were killed instead of him. Although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy, Krishna. Rather, they came to kill innocent boys. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed. Exactly like flies attacking a fire. The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Seated in the meeting room, the Vrajavasis discussed again and again about the naughtiness of the boy and his killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. And they composed songs which they sang again and again. Kantam Kurvanta. They did not know the pain of material existence or pay attention to knowledge of material existence. Bhava Vedanam. Other said, this is bhava. Bhava means the material world. Bhava means that, you know, the ecstasy that's tasted in connection with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Other elderly coward men coming from other places informed Nanda about liberation from the material world. They would say, half your life is gone. Why do you remain immersed in discussing about child, family, and wife? Why don't you concentrate on knowledge, vairagya, austerity, and remembrance of Narayan to get deliverance from the material world? Though requested in this way, Nanda and the other cowherd men did not pay any attention to that. Because the point of renunciation is detach from the material world so that you could attach to Krishna. But they're already attached to Krishna, so the perfection of renunciation is already gained from them. Srila Prabhupada adds, the purpose of human life is indicated in the Brahma Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. To make one's life perfect in the past, present, and future, one must learn about Brahman. Because of intense affection, Nandamarsh could not understand Krishna as he is. Garga Muni was able to know everything, past, present, and future, by studying the Vedas. But Nandamarsh could not understand Krishna directly. Because of his intense love for Krishna, he forgot who Krishna was and could not understand Krishna's potencies. Although Krishna is Narayan himself, Garga Muni did not disclose this. Thus, Nandamars appreciated the words of Garga Muni, but because of his deep affection, he could not understand who Krishna was. Although Garga Muni had said that Krishna's qualities would be exactly like those of Narayana. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so this affection one can't see. Right, you can also see is the demons, they can't see. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because of envy, they can't see. So it's either due to love or due to envy, then one can't see. So one has to reduce that envy by seeing Krishna's position, understanding things as they are, and trying to cultivate that affection. Right? Then slowly, slowly, then one starts to understand Krishna. Right? Yeah, so you get to the advanced stages. Right? So then you come. Learn it all, forget it all. Right? those kind of. But he's not here, so. Yes. Sri Sugata Goswami continued, "In this way all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations." Footnote 8. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 58 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 6, entitled "Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord," Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Because you have Krishna is the absolute, Krishna is the source of all, or the controller of all energies, and Krishna as the as rasa. Right? So this will fit into that section. So he's rasa, so therefore the devotees, they're tasting, they're always tasting rasa connected to Krishna. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Hmm. Why wouldn't we say this is Prayojana?
Because it's emphasizing about them discussing and tasting, and it's about Krishna. Remember, because it said that other elderly cowherd men coming from other places informed Nanda about liberation from the material world. But they only wanted to hear about Krishna. So then it'll be this, Bhagavat Rasa. Means everything they do is on the platform of Prayojana. But you're showing these different aspects so that we can follow, right? Because this is in the area of Sambandha, so this is something we can work with. Right? And so therefore we can try to always absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Here's an instruction about the results of studying or discussing the Krishna Leelas that appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadyo Hrid Yavarudyate Tra Kriti Bihi Shushru Shibhis Tat Shana." Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:2. Oh, okay. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in Vrindavan appeared like ordinary persons of this material world, but they never felt the tribulations of this world, although they sometimes met many dangerous situations created by the demons. This is a practical example. So even though the material world has environments that we would consider not your ideal environments, still they felt no difficulty from them. Because difficulty is more of a mentality. It's not actually the physical, mental, or intellectual platforms. It's your perception of it. Is that make sense? Let us say it's been a drought for a very long time. Right? And then a really good, solid, strong rain starts. So, and the farmer is outside. Is he feeling any tribulation? No, he's happy. Right? Same time, the kids, you know, that had their plans to go and play and everything, then, now they're upset. You understand? So it's a matter of perception. So, we generally take it, if the situation is ideal, then we'll say, this is good. And if it's not ideal, it's bad. But it's actually what experience you gain in it that actually makes the difference. So because they're always absorbed in Krishna, then they feel no material tribulations. Right? There may be spiritual differences in tastes and emotions, but that's spiritual.
As here is said, like the pastimes of Raj, they are special in another sense that it looks like material, so even a materialist, they can be attached to Krishna more easily because they can relate.
That's there, but it's not that it's designed that way, because it's not that. Well, Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan are actually totally like to live a totally different lifestyle, but because Krishna somehow or another has this idea to help those living entities in the material world, and therefore if they do pastimes like human pastimes, then it will make it easier for them. So, yeah, you know, it pleases Krishna, so they all do that. Okay? No, it's that the human pastimes are the best, because in that rasa is the greatest. Because you have some ability, but not that much. So if you do something special, you get so much more taste. Well, if Indra does something special, that's what he's supposed to do. Right? You understand? Now, if let's say a elephant picks up a full banana tree, are we going to find it amazing? No, but let's say a 5-year-old boy picks up that same banana tree. Then we'll think, wow. Yes, so it's just the aspects of rasa are so much greater. Because then if you do according to God, then there's those expectations of demigods, those expectations. But human, then you have this side of just the ashram side. Just the relationship and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Indra does Indra stuff. He's never not Indra. Right? So it's everything. Well, for here, the humans, you have an occupation, then you go home. You're not that thing anymore. You're not that occupation. You understand? So there's more taste. So it just is an advantage that, yes, everyone can be attracted. This is a practical example. If we follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas, we can all be happy simply by discussing the activities of Krishna. Anarto pashamam shakshat bhakti yogam adhoksaje lokas ya janato vidvams chakre satpata samhitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Vyasadeva has given this literature so that everyone may understand one's transcendental position simply by discussing Bhagavat Katha. Even at the present moment, everyone everywhere can be happy and free from material tribulations by following Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need of austerities and penances, which in this age are very difficult to perform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore declared, Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. By our Krishna conscious movement, we are trying to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam so that anyone in any part of the world can be absorbed in the Krishna conscious movement by chanting and hearing about the activities of Krishna and be free from all material tribulations. Right, so this discussion about Krishna, that is universal. Everybody can do that. And by doing that, then everybody will get benefit. So that's the thing. Krishna consciousness is actually the only universal element. Right? Everything else, then it has its limited aspects. Srila Prabhupada writes, yes?
I was thinking that the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for Kanishka Madhyama Uttamas very different. So can you elaborate on that point? You know, who gets what benefit?
Okay,
exactly.
From what each one. Well, basically a neophyte will get that faith in Krishna, that faith that by practicing Krishna consciousness then the result of Krishna prema is of value. They will see the nice examples of the great devotees and the interaction with the Lord, so they'll be inspired that it's worth surrendering to. And they'll be willing to trade the attachment for their anarthas for just being situated in Krishna consciousness. So they can gain, and then see how devotees did that. That's why we see in the earlier cantos, then there's so many nice stories explaining how these great devotees were performing all the duties expected from them in household life, but at the same time not being attached because the results for Krishna. So as areas of nature where one is comfortable and one has the facility, then one can act in that capacity, but without that attachment for the results. Is that... Yes, so then they're able to do that. So the neophyte was there. The Madhyama then we see is that more the moods, the mentalities of the practitioners, how they, you know, they're paying attention to the practices themselves, the detail that's there, trying to appreciate that, seeing how the great devotees perform those activities, you know, and then continuing on that, you know, the steadiness in devotional service, that's just the basic thing, but actually the switch from the focus on the secondary activities as the major focus, like you would have with the neophyte, how to engage everything, to actually it's the direct activities of devotional service are the real important element of the devotional practice. Because they know how to engage the secondary aspects, so the focus is not on that. See, for the neophyte, the secondary has always been used for themselves, so they're now getting adjusted to using the secondary to please Krishna. For the Madhyama, then, using the secondary to please Krishna is standard, but because of habit, one will put naturally a good amount of focus into that the secondary is performed nicely. But you have to make sure that in that process that one does not get distracted and think it's just the performance of the secondary nicely that makes it devotional service. Right? Is that you're trying to do it to please Krishna, that Krishna's pleasure, that devotional aspect is the real thing and the others are just to support. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, it switches. The primary becomes much more the prominence. The secondary is practiced nicely, but it's not the focus of consciousness. Well, for the neophyte, then that focusing to try to get the secondary activities connected to Krishna consistently, mm-hmm. that will be more of a focus. Though it's, of course, it always has to be done to please Krishna. That's why then if they associate with those more advanced themselves, the neophytes associate with more advanced, then they're going to be reminded of the primary aspect. And then that'll make it that much easier to deal with the secondary. Right? And then for the Uttamas, then it's just relishing the mellows of the relationships of the Lord and His unlimited name, forms, qualities, pastimes, the interaction with the devotees, everything like that. Is that what it says? Mm-hmm. So the same thing works for everybody. So we see here is that for the residents of Vrindavan and hearing about Krishna, they're on that Uttama platform. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, they're just relishing the mellows of tasting the rasa. Is that what it says? Because for them, see, it's why is rasa, they have the sthayi bhava. They're always fixed in that absorption in Krishna. And then the particular vibhava, right? They have a particular mood of surrender, so according to the Vibhava, then what inspires them? That's why we say it's seemingly that, well, don't the elders know that? But that's not part of what attracts them to Krishna. You know, his being young, his innocence, that reciprocation they have with him, his beauty, his charm, all these different things, these are going to be what they notice. So when they hear the pastimes, that's going to be the alambana for them. And then from that, they'll taste Anubhav, yes. I knew it was something with an A. Yeah, because he had that word udbhava. So then they taste rasa. Because the whole point is when there's the vibhav, then the rasa is tasted. And then you get all these other results. So then for us, we don't have that consistent, steady attraction to Krishna. Therefore, when we hear all these points of that, then it doesn't necessarily create so much taste like it does with those on the Uttama platform. Though, the devotees get taste, definitely, because Krishna's the all-attractive one. But the amount of taste is like unlimited. So what we're getting, we may be saying we're not getting much taste, but the taste we're getting from this is so much greater than any taste there is in the material world. just that we're not so used to it. We're thinking that these material tastes, they have an intensity that we may find that our devotional taste does not necessarily regularly have. Mm-hmm. But the point is even the most intense position of material taste does not compare to just the smallest amount of taste that the devotee gets in hearing Krishna, even as the newest devotee. Because they don't compare. One candle is greater than unlimited darkness. Right? So they don't compare. But, you know, if we're worried about the intensity, that just comes with time. So that's why then if you some nice kirtan or some other things, you make nice arrangements, devotees get together, that fullness is appreciated. Is that what I'm saying? So then that's the value of it. But we see these devotees at any time, any place, any circumstance, they can remember Krishna and be absorbed like that. So it's always on that perfectional platform.
Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes. Right. You say, I see the introduction of Bhagavatam. It's a biography of Lord Chaitanya.
Right.
It's mentioned that Chota Haridas was attracted by a young lady. But according to Chaitanya Charitamrita,
you would have been more comfortable if it was an older lady?
It was said by a very old lady. I can't understand.
No, I'm just saying, would it be any better if it was something else, or...?
Okay, young lady is more reasonable, but
but we have to understand young lady means she wasn't old, but she wasn't young.
Middle age.
No, if she was in youth, but it would be, you know, whatever. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, so then what's where are we going with this?
What I think is, I mean, Chota Haridas, he's a young sannyasi. How could he be attracted by an old lady? And Chaitanya, why?
No, I'm saying, you said it's a young lady, so it's a young lady.
No, an older lady, but an older lady.
It was an older lady.
Yeah, older lady.
But what does older lady mean?
It's like 84 years old.
She was 84?
Yeah.
You sure?
I checked the books. She called Madhavi Devi, you know.
And she was 84.
84 years old.
You're sure 84?
I'm sure.
So, but with just a minute ago, you were sure that it was a young lady.
No. In the introduction of Bhagavatam, that is mentioned, he was attracted by young lady. But
okay.
In other books,
so now here the problem comes is now you have an eternal associate of Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna, what age does he always look?
Always young.
Yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya's associates.
She's 84. I asked you, like, young.
In the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna is 125, but he still looks 16. People still go to Vegas to see Cher. She's in her 70s. But if you look, she doesn't look 70. See, I'm getting distracted here from the intensity that you put into, you know, she's a young lady, you know, curling lip and the whole thing. And, oh, she's an old lady. That's even worse. And she's 84, you know, like that. You know, even the Beatles wouldn't push the point past that if they were 64, would you still love them? Because they knew at 84, no one would like them, right? You know, so, you know, this. The point is, what is that you want to discuss?
I just still, confused that. It just see an old lady, and Chaitanya got so upset toward him, and to the
Okay, so now it's taken a whole different turn. So you're worried, why is Lord Chaitanya being so strict in punishing him?
Yeah.
Not why he's becoming attracted.
Yeah, two, both.
Both, okay. Yes, that's a package, okay. Anything else we should throw in there?
Yes, sir. Who was the lady?
Who is the lady? Yeah. Huh?
Madhavi.
Yeah,
Madhavi. He's dead from her.
But Madhavi is...
She's considered as a very advanced devotee.
Yeah, is she the half?
Yeah,
she's the half. Sikhi Mahiti's sister.
Yeah.
I never heard of 84, but whatever. Yeah. So, maybe she was born in 84. Okay. So, how much do devotees care about the rules of Krishna consciousness?
Very much.
Very much. Yeah?
Yeah.
All the rules. All the Varnashram, all the Indian stuff, and all this and that. And just like you were talking the other day, that all this Indian stuff, and it's in China, and China and India don't have a good political relationship, so that's putting a strain on the devotees' appreciation and practice of the Vedic cultural elements, because they're from India, and China and India don't get along, and...
Yeah, but I mean, in India, devotees are more concerned about rules, regulations.
Okay, no, I'm talking about, we're talking about in your neck of the woods. I'm talking about the Middle Kingdom. Yeah? What about America?
Maybe they're not so concerned about
it. Yeah, okay. So, since we find the tendency is, we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules. So, if you have a rule where, you know, Lord Chaitanya is so strict, will people be careful about that rule?
Yeah.
So, then that sets the standard of those within the Gaudiya line. They should be careful, because you see the Sahajiyas, they're not careful at all.
Yeah.
So many of these Zampa Sampradayas and that, they just don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, they want the position of the sannyasi, but they also want all the other. How do you say? Sannyas with benefits. Right? So that's the problem. So Lord Chaitanya, to make sure that doesn't become a standard, therefore he's very strict with Chota Haridas. Not that what happened is something so major, but he's setting the example. Right?
Yeah, but he's too severe. I mean,
too severe for what?
Extreme that he got suicide.
And then after that, then what happened?
Then he got to be ready to become a Gandhava or something.
And then?
Then he put the spiritual work?
He used to come in every evening sing for Lord Chaitanya, because when Lord Chaitanya would go out in the evening, you know, to take his evening bath, and he'd sit down at the ocean, and Chota Haridas would come and sing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's one of the associates. It means these extreme things, who else do you show with but the associates? Yeah. Means you can only show the extreme example with those who are advanced in devotional service. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
So you have to set the example, otherwise then how will how seriously will people take it? Is that the same thing?
Yeah. But how modern people, how can understand that? I mean, we are
modern people.
Mundane people.
Mundane, since when do mundane people care about Lord Chaitanya and Chota Haridas? You know what I'm saying?
They might criticize Mahatma.
They might. That so many things might happen. You know what I'm saying? The polar caps might melt, and then the Earth will shift, and then we'll find China's down in Antarctica, and you're not prepared for it. I mean, in Beijing it's a little cold, but not that cold. But the people from, you know, Guangzhou and all that, they'll really have problems because they don't even have a winter coat. You know what I'm saying? It might happen. And then suddenly, you know, how you say, the Sichuan cooking that's more hot will become popular. You know what I'm saying? So many things might happen. So why worry about what might happen? Worry about what is happening. So in other words, you have to use one's intellectual abilities to contemplate what to do with what's going on now. Right? And not to what possibilities could happen, but you're not connecting it with the present. Otherwise, then, it's a waste of intellectual ability. I mean, it'll be greatly lauded within the academy, but not necessarily within the devotional process. Is that what I'm saying? So since when are they even going to understand it at all or know what's going on? Right? And what kind of activity one has to do in the locale over there that you get a bullet in the back of the head? So for a country that's pretty common, why would this be so extreme? Because Lord Chaitanya didn't do anything. You just wouldn't see him. So you could technically say it's a very light punishment.
Well, the result is...
Results? So many results are there. You know, well, why do you say that? Why do you connect it there? You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to do that. He did, because then he could come and do service to Lord Chaitanya. Right? So, in other words, the sannyas part of it, that's what you follow. You can't guarantee that if you killed yourself, then you can come as a Gandharva and sing for Lord Chaitanya. So that part you don't take. That's pastime. But example is that as a sannyasi, he has to be careful. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So then I wouldn't worry about anxiety about strict punishment, especially in a country where strict punishment is common, yeah. You know what I'm saying? People go out into the square and stand there and say, you know, this is not right, and tanks come along and roll them over and make them into chutney. You know? And it's just another day at the office. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry about it in your part of the world. You know? That makes sense. You know? Because don't worry, the karmis don't understand anyway. And if someone wants to be inimical to Krishna, then they'll find a way. Does that make sense? So don't you worry about it. Okay? Otherwise, the only thing you'll have left is mood. And that's not very exciting. Okay. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prema.